good. It's good to be here this morning. Good to be with each one of you. I'm glad you've chosen to be here this morning, because I think what God's put on my heart to share this morning about a myth that I think a lot of us believe is that we have to worry about the problems in our life. Those things, those obstacles, those challenges that we have to deal with that are a part of everyday life. Each one of ours are different, but each one of ours become a lot the same. And so we're going to talk about what God's Word says and hopefully bust this myth that we have to choose to worry about the problems in our life, because worry becomes a burden to us. This past week, when I knew that I was going to be speaking this morning and knew what I was going to be speaking about, I chose to do a Facebook survey. And some of you who may be my Facebook friends may have participated in my little survey this week. But I asked you in that survey, what do you worry about? What are those things that you choose to worry about? And the number one thing on the list from the people who responded to my survey were their children and grandchildren, which surprised me, because I would have thought number two would have been number one. But it was a close second. Finances and money. And when you look at any other surveys done by real survey people and not by Randy doing one on Facebook, this is always the number one. Finances and money, what people worry about. The third thing was the future, the unknown. I combined those two. People said it different ways, but it was really all the same thing. They don't know what tomorrow brings, so they choose to worry about that, the unknown, whatever that might be. And you can plug that into a lot of different circumstances, and there were a lot of different circumstances that people talked about that they applied, that's what they worry about. Fourth one is health. A lot of people worry about health. They worry about health for their grandchildren. They worry about health for their children. They worry about health for themselves, for others. But health is a major thing that people said they worry about. And the fifth one was parenting. And I thought about, well, that's really the same thing as children and grandchildren, but it's really not. Because you can worry about your child and the decisions they're making, but it might not have to do with the skill or the ability to follow after God's direction in parenting. So I left it on there as number five. You know, and when we choose to worry about those things, what we end up doing, you know, we all have backpacks. Every one of us carry backpacks around, you know that? Not just if you're a student or whatever. But when you choose to worry about parenting, put that in your backpack. Well, I need to worry about that. I need to carry it around with me wherever I go and make sure that I'm worrying about being a good parent all the time. So you stick that in there. Well, it's not too bad. And I could probably walk around most of the day just worrying about parenting and be okay. It'd take a long time before this would become a big burden. But then, somebody in the family, or maybe yourself, you have a health issue. So, well, better worry about that. So you stick it in your backpack. Well, now it's a little heavier. Now it's a little more of a burden. But, you know, I need to worry about it, because worrying will fix it. So if I worry enough, that health problem will be well. Well, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what job I'm going to have when I get out of school. I don't know how this financial stuff I'm dealing with now is going to eventually work out. So I better worry about my future. So now it's getting a little heavier. And then finances, you know, because I have to worry about finances, I'm going to put it in this special little pocket right over here so it's safe and sound and I can worry about it often. And nobody really maybe knows that I'm even worrying about it, because I'm going to keep it nice and safe in this little side pocket, because it's kind of my pet worry focus. It's worrying about money. And then your children and grandchildren, what are they going to do? What decisions are they going to make? Have I raised them right? You know, all those things that cause you to worry. And so by the time you get all of them in there, you know, that's pretty heavy. Now walking around all day long, it's going to cause a burden for me. It's going to make me think about them more often, which is going to cause me to dwell on them, which is going to cause me to worry, which is why I have them in there. But pretty soon, if you've carried five bricks around for a long, long time, it even starts affecting you physically. Your back starts hurting. Your legs start hurting. Man, I wish I could get rid of this. But I have to worry. See, that's the myth that we have. God's Word tells us we don't have to worry. It's not something we have to do. And we're going to look at several verses this morning in just a few minutes. But the sources of worry, let's think about why do we worry? Two sources. Problems which you need to think about. Okay, there's things you need to think about. If you're a business owner, if you have a family, if you live life, there are things you have to think about. You have to have a plan. You have to have a strategy. There has to be things, you have to take action towards stuff. You have to get things done. Well, solve those problems. If you can solve those problems, then do something to solve. A solution is what you're looking for when you think about those. Number two, problems which don't benefit you at all by thinking of them, because they can never be solved by thinking of them. Some of those big things, you know, right now, none of you know what you're going to be doing very specifically 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or what your children, how they're really going to turn out, or what your finances are going to look like. So you don't know that. And no matter how long you think about it, it's not going to change that. And one of our biggest things that we choose to worry about, biggest sources, is the past and the future. Man, I'm worried, why did that happen? Why? Or the future, which I believe is the greatest thing that we worry about, those unknown things. Whether it has to do with any of those five categories, it all applies. But it's those things that haven't even happened yet. You think about this morning before you left to come to church. How many of you worried about something? Okay? Now, that thing or those things that you worried about, have they happened yet? No. Most of those things are in the future. It's something that you don't know how it's going to come out or what's going to happen. But you choose to spend time worrying. And we're going to talk about the difference between caring about something, okay, and making a plan to achieve something like that, because if there's something you can do about it, then do it. If there's nothing you can do about it, then why worry? Worry is a choice against trusting or believing God. See, I almost wore my hard-toe boots this morning, because when I say that, and I think about myself worrying, that hurts. That's an ouch. Because see, what we're going to see as we walk through God's Word is that God has given us instruction on why we don't have to worry. He gives us direction. He gives us truth on why we don't have to do that. And we're going to look at those things. Here's a Facebook quote from a grandmother of her 5-year-old son, whose mother, it said in the Facebook post, is a chronic worrier. So this little boy is around that all the time. But listen to what he said. By worrying, this is him talking to his mother, by worrying you are disrespecting God. When you worry, you're not trusting God like he tells you to. Wow. That's pretty powerful from a 5-year-old. You know, out of the mouths of babes. We say all the time, here's another one of those out of the mouths of babes. Because what's interesting to know about this specific grandmother and mother and son is that the mother and son, they live in a military environment. The little 5-year-old boy's dad is in the army. And so what has he learned all his life about respecting authority, believing what those above you tell you to do? And he gets it. Now, his mom doesn't, but he gets it. See, he understands what that looks like. That when we don't worry, then we're respecting God, we're believing God. So, here's some verses. And these are, I put them on the screen so that you can write them down. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on any one, but I want to give you some verses for each one of those five that came out on my survey. And then we're going to end up this morning's time together in Matthew 6 and really pick apart what Jesus said about worry. But if children and grandchildren, here's some verses for you just to take with you and go back and meditate over and perhaps even memorize. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay? That's something you can do. Train up your child in the way he should go. Encourage him in that, in the way he should go. Teach him what God's word says. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. That's God speaking. That's what God has a plan for each one of us. We should believe that. Now, it doesn't mean our circumstances are always going to be great. They're always going to be good. Always going to be fun. But see, what that tells us is that God has a plan that's good for us. Ultimately, so we can believe that. Even when things of life don't seem that way. We can believe what God's word says. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, the reason I put that one in there is because we as parents, as we train up our child, we should teach them to obey. Because you think about as a parent, what worries you most about your child when you choose to worry about them is that they choose not to obey. Their disobedience creates circumstances that get them in trouble, which causes you to worry, hoping they're going to do that. So as a parent, teach them to obey. You know, set that good foundation for them so that that happens. Finances. God's word says in Malachi 3:10 that we first bring our tithe to the storehouse. God blesses us. He gives us jobs, a way to make money. And he says, give it back to me. And test him in doing that. And see if he will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And I had a conversation just yesterday with a person who this last year has been faithfully doing that, bringing their tithe to the storehouse, and they told me a story about how God had blessed them in a huge way based upon that. 1 Corinthians 9:6 says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, God has given us finances, money. We need that in life. But how are we going to use it? That's what it comes down to. Instead of worrying about it, trust God's word. Believe God's word. Be obedient to God's word and what it says to do with what God has given you. And then you don't have to worry. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. See, a lot of times we worry about money because we're trying to add that next little tool, that next little toy, that next little whatever. You know, keeping up with the Joneses syndrome, I need more instead of being content. Paul knew that. Paul understood. And in the rest of that passage, he talks about that. You know, I've been rich and important, and I've had nothing. But what he's learned in all of that with his resources that God has given him is to be content with it. Okay? Because a lot of times our worry is trying to get more, that future. What am I going to do? How am I going to get there? So we worry about that. Then Philippians 4:19 tells us, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Supply all your needs. And ultimately, that's what we need, is our needs. It doesn't say I'll give you all your wants. But when we have that attitude toward our money, that we give to God what is God's first, then we trust him with all those other details. We realize that God will supply all our needs. We don't have to worry about that. The future or the unknown. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. See, one thing that I was talking to our small group on Wednesday night, and I just happened to mention that we were going to be talking about this on Sunday. And so I kind of just polled them there and talking. And we had two people in the group said, I worry about everything. I mean, everything. And I went, everything? Everything. That's the first response, is to worry. You know, and it's because we don't know. Because we don't know. See, there's no problem with making plans, strategizing. You know, you want to do that. You want to be creative. And how am I going to achieve this that God's put on my heart to do? But don't worry about it. God's ultimately going to direct the path. Nothing wrong with making plans. Isaiah 40:31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. The idea of waiting on God to do what he said he was going to do in Philippians 4:19 by supplying all you need. See? We get ahead of God sometimes because our worry gets so intense. Well, I've got to do something. So as you continue to worry, you don't wait on God. Because when it says very clearly there, when we wait on him, we gain new strength. We get stronger when we wait on what the Lord has for us. So again, worry is not necessary. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God's on your side. He wants your best. Remember what it said in Jeremiah 29. He's got a plan for you, a plan to prosper you. He's on your team. Health, Daniel 1, 12 through 12 and 15. Please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. And at the end of these 10 days, their appearance seemed better. Now see, that's something we can do. When it comes to health, we can choose to put the right things in our body that gives us good health. That's why I included that passage. There's some choices we can make that end up being better for us. That's something we can do that we don't have to worry about. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Our bodies are God's temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He lives in us. So take care of that temple. Again, we can make that choice. We don't have to worry about it. Make a good choice to take care of it. Now, there are sometimes with health issues, we can do the very best we can do. We can eat all vegetables and fruit and drink a lot of water. And we can exercise daily. We may still get cancer. We have no control over that. Even though we've made all the best choices in the world, there's a part of health that we can't do anything about. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God's bigger than all those health issues that we can't do anything about. I mean, there's a certain level we can take care of. But we get to a certain point with those issues of health in our lives. God, I don't know. There's nothing else I can do. Casting all your anxiety on him. Give it to him. I trust you with it, God, because I know you care for me. Parenting, the Proverbs 22:6 verse, train up a child, I think applies there as well. You know, one of the comments that was made in the Facebook survey about parenting is that, gosh, I just worry about, am I doing the right thing? You know, am I doing all the right things as a parent? And this was a parent of some younger children, probably elementary age or younger. And those of us who have older children, we were there. We've been there. We understand that. We want our children to make the right choices. We want everything better for them than it was for us, just like our parents wanted better for us than they had for themselves. That's a desire. So do what you can do. Train your child the way he should go. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there's no law. The reason I include that verse is I think it's very powerful that we model as a parent those things, those characteristics of what it looks like to be a follower of Christ in front of our children. You know, when they see us getting angry as a response as opposed to being gentle and loving, then that's confusing to them if they understand this. So we see the model that we can be as parents is something we can do. Those things can be our response to circumstances. And then the last one, and this is one I find, and I've probably said this to you before when I'm speaking, that I find myself saying in counseling circumstances more than any other verse or passage in the Bible. Because I think it's one of the strongest worry statements or against worry in all of Scripture. But it says, be anxious or worry for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As a parent, you need to do a lot of praying. And because you can worry yourself to death, and is all this going to work out right? That says that when we pray about those issues we worry about, especially in the arena of parenting, that we can gain a peace that surpasses all comprehension. So pray as a response. So what did Jesus say? If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew 6. I'm going to have the verses up there, but you may want to follow along as we go through, and we're going to finish up with Matthew 6 and just look exactly what Jesus said worrying looks like. Start with verse 24 of Matthew 6. It says, no one can serve two masters, for neither he will hate the one, or either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The thing, that statement at the bottom, I want you to see that, because I think that is so true. The things you are most devoted to are the things you worry about. Think about it. Think about that list that we just went through. Those are things you're devoted to. You know, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Even though I'm a pastor, you know, I'm supposed to be a good guy, I'm not devoted to your finances. Sorry. I care about them. I hope things go well with you. But I'm not devoted to your finances. You know, I'm not devoted to whether your children make good grades or get into Harvard. I'm not devoted to that. I would like to see them do well. You know, I don't want to see them to flunk out of the third grade. I don't want to see that. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time thinking about your children's grades. Or your 401k. I hope it's thriving. I hope it's just making bukus of money. But I don't spend a lot of time dwelling on yours. Now, mine is a different issue in all those categories. Because, see, I'm devoted to those things. And I think that word in verse 24 that Jesus uses is really powerful for us to understand those things that we choose to worry about. It's those things we're devoted to. So the things that you're most devoted to are the things you choose to worry about. And the things you choose to worry about are the things you're most devoted to. So understand that as we proceed. And I think it's also interesting that Jesus prefaces this whole talk about worry with talking about money. Because, like I said, in all the surveys except for mine, it comes out number one. So, Here's the thought, and we're going to play off this thought for the next 15 minutes or so. What if you shifted your core devotion? What would happen to your worry? If worry is a problem of devotion, if that's what, you know, what we're devoted to causes us to worry, then what if your focus of devotion shifts? We're going to look at that question toward the end too. But think about that as we proceed through the scripture. What if that shift is made? Verse 25 of chapter 6 says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life." What did we look at a while ago? You know, the things in your life you're devoted to. Things in my life I'm devoted to. So as we think about this, think about those things in your life. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Now, obviously these things that Jesus chooses to pull out that people in his day worried about, we don't probably spend a lot of time worrying about in Lubbock, Texas, about what we eat, what we drink. But we do spend a lot of time worrying about our kids. We do spend a lot of time worrying about our jobs. We spend a lot of time worrying about our money. I mean, so substitute that in there. Jesus was talking to the people that this made sense to. You know, they were basically a hand-to-mouth kind of existence. I mean, they might not know tomorrow what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink. So those were very important to them. So as you think through what Jesus is saying to us, you're going, "Well, I don't worry about that." Substitute the things that you do worry about into those blanks. That's what Jesus is talking about. And the last question there in verse 25, he says, "Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Isn't it really? Life is not just about your kids. And some of you have teenagers and late elementary kids. Sometimes it seems like that. Everything revolves around the kids. So in that way, seeing that as being number one on my Facebook survey didn't surprise me, because I encounter you guys each and every day. I watch you. And your life is devoted at a great level to your children. Should you be devoted to your children? Absolutely. Okay? I'm not telling you to put your kids out on the street and let them fend for themselves. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes that level of devotion for them becomes so great that it causes us to worry. Same thing with our finances. See? Plug finances into there. We make that what it's all about. You know, I've got to keep climbing that ladder. Get to that next rung so there's one more zero or 1,000 more square feet or a better name on the vehicle. Whatever. Plug it in. We worry about all that stuff. Jesus says, "Is not life really more than all those things?" Those things are a part of life, but life itself is more than that. It's not why we're here. And I'm a horrible clicker, so hang with me. There we go. Verse 26. "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" You know, if Jesus is sitting here teaching today, and he sat down on the stool and just, you know, having a conversation with you guys, you know, and you're listening, you're intent at this point. You go, "Okay, Jesus, I know what you're talking about." And then he uses this illustration. "Look up to the birds in the sky." Okay, Jesus, what's this got to do with my finances and my children? Why do you want me to look at the birds in the sky? That doesn't seem real appropriate right here. You know, we're talking about worry. We're talking about serious stuff. And you want me just to watch the birds of the sky? But see, the point of what Jesus was doing was notice. I take care of them. They have stuff to eat. Look how beautiful they are. And don't I care for you more than the birds of the air? See, if you just read through that real quick, you're going, okay, good illustration, Jesus, but think about it. He does care about us. And he loves us. I love Jim's selection of songs this morning. He loves us to a level that he wants to take care of those things that we choose to worry about. He doesn't want us to have to be burdened by filling our backpack with all that stuff. So the question, do we really believe God cares enough about us to take care of our needs? Do you really believe that? See, at the black and whiteness of what Scripture says, well, yeah, I believe it. Okay, so when you walk out those doors in just a few minutes, don't worry. Choose not to do that. If you believe God, then you believe God's going to take care of that. Because he cares more about you than he does the birds. And he takes care of them. He's more devoted to you than he is to the birds. So he's going to take care of you. Verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? You know, this week I had a conversation with Catherine Sanders, and we were sitting waiting. Joe had some surgery this week, and we were sitting at the hospital and told her what we were going to be talking about. And she said, I have a story about my grandpa. My grandmother used to worry about everything, she said. And finally, her grandfather got tired of that. He said, you know what? It's midnight. We both really need to go to bed. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to stay up all night and we're going to worry. And she looks at him and she goes, why are we going to do that? You can go on to bed. He goes, no. We're going to stay up. The two of us are going to stay up all night long. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, if nothing has changed, then we're going to quit worrying and you're going to bed. Now, there's some wisdom in what Grandpa had to say. Because, see, 8 hours of intense worrying, doing the best worrying you can do, you know, and some of you are really good. You really are. You've got it down to a science. You've probably even figured out a way to have somebody else carry your backpack at times. But you are professional worriers, and that's what Grandma was. And Grandpa said, nope, 8 o'clock in the morning, we're going to worry for 8 hours. Nothing's changed. Then we're going to stop worrying and go to bed. Because it's a worthless choice of effort. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. No matter how hard you do it. You get finished and you still have the problem. And your backpack's gotten heavier. Verse 28 through 30. Click, Randy. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Again, referring back to one of the things they worried about. You of little faith. So you put that statement, those three verses, and then he hits it with that exclamation point. In my Bible, there is an exclamation point there. You of little faith. Jesus says worry is a weak faith response to our problems. We all have problems. We're going to have to deal with them. There's going to have to be a response to them. And what Jesus is telling us when we choose to worry is that that's a weak faith response. You're not faithing him. Using faith there is a verb. Choosing to trust him and believing with whatever that circumstance might be. That's what Jesus said, not me. Don't send me emails. Send him emails. Verse 31 says, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?" He's reminding them of the things they worry about. Do not worry. Sounds a lot like a command to me. A lot like a command. Do not worry. Jesus says, worry is a response of disobedience to our problems. We have to respond to them. But worrying is a response of disobedience if we choose to do that. Verse 32, getting close to the end. "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." You know, the reference to Gentiles there, some of your translations that you may be looking at right now may say pagans. We don't even like to use that word. Those are bad people. But really, those are non-believers. It's another word for that. So was the word Gentiles. And they understood that. Those Jews listening to this didn't want to be Gentiles. But yet Jesus says the Gentiles do that. So when we choose to worry as believers, who do we look like? We look like non-believers. And so even in our worry, or not worrying, we communicate to those who are looking at us. How are you going to respond to that problem? Jesus says, you guys look like Gentiles when you do this. You look like pagans. You're not. But that's what you're projecting when you don't trust me, when you don't believe me. Jesus reminds us that he's in control here. One more subtle reminder. I'm in control. I've got this covered. I created you. I can take you out. And I can meet all your needs in the middle. I'm in control. So believe me. Trust me. And the question becomes, are you going to allow him to be in control in your life? Or are all these things going to be in control of your life in your response to them? But finally, all this we've looked at, we haven't got to the solution yet. We're about to hit the solution. We all like solutions, answers. Verse 33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All of what things? What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. All those things will be taken care of. Seek me first. Make that the focus of your devotion. Jesus says our devotion should be to him first. See? And then, if that's the case, if we achieve that, if we make our devotion to him the greatest devotion in our life, then he's going to take care of all the small stuff. He's going to take care of our finances. He's going to be with our children. He's going to take care of those relationships at work that are just awful. He's going to take care of all that. What if you shifted your devotion away from your children, your finances, your future, your health, your job, or whatever it is you worry about? What if you change that devotion? You seek him first and let him take care of the details. What if your first response to a problem was not worry, but instead prayer? You know, my mother-in-law is a very wise person. And I've learned that a long time ago. But she responded. She'll be 80 in March. And she responded to my Facebook survey. She's a hip granny, and she's on Facebook. This was her comment. She says, "I don't worry. Long ago, I discovered that it doesn't do a bit of good, and I can trust God to take care of whatever." She says, "I'm grateful for parents that taught me by example." And that I trust, therefore it's easier to trust God because I trust them. It's a powerful statement. What if your first response to a problem was action of belief in what God said? We've looked at some of those actions. It was action. There's some things we can do things about. Don't worry about it. Go do something about it. Make better choices for your health. Save money instead of spend money. I mean, there's choices we can make that will take away the worry. What if your first response to a problem was relinquishing control? God, I'm not in control anymore. I'm going to let you be in control. This throne I'm sitting on is getting really hard. I'm tired of being king or queen in my life. What if you took your worries out of your backpack and begin putting them into God's backpack? And I didn't have a bigger backpack, imagine. And you start taking them out. Man, that's not bad. I think I can, oh, whoa. Forgot about finances. They're in there too. You know, and this is just pretty much a piece of cake to carry around. I'm not even sure I know I'm wearing a backpack after a while, when I put this on. So the solution to worry is to redirect your devotion. It's a transfer of devotion. You be devoted to God and let God handle your problems. Verse 34, and we're finishing up. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough of its own. That's kind of like in the message paraphrase. There's a duh right after that. D-U-H with an exclamation. No, I'm just kidding. It's really not there. Okay? Because, yeah, each day has enough of its own. I mean, when we wake up in the morning, we're going to have new challenges. New problems to deal with. Maybe left over, maybe not. But don't worry about tomorrow. Do what you can do. Plan, prepare, strategize, and act. Then believe God and trust God with what he will do. Do it. It's a choice. It's what worry is. Worry is a choice. Finish up with this verse. Same chapter, backing up to verse 10. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. In verse 10, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's on earth? Isn't that what we're doing? That's our life that he talked about a while ago, back in 25 and 26. That's our life. What's on earth? Your will be done. Your will be done equals God's will, not yours. On earth equals your life. And Jesus tells us, after he gives us that model way to pray, pray this way. And let the response of prayer be primary when you're tempted to worry. Just like Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. Let me pray and then we're done. God, your word's very clear to us as we've looked at today about worrying is a bad choice. And we talk about not making bad choices all the time. We don't want to do that. God, help us to believe you. Believe in your power and your control, your provision. God, allow us to take those bricks of worry and give them to you. And whenever we're concerned or we care or we're feeling great devotion about something, seek you first. Talk to you. Let you talk back into our lives with your word. God, we don't have to worry. That's a myth. Thank you for showing us that. In your name we pray. Amen. Remember to check your high notes, anything that you need to be a part of, any announcements that pertain to you, act on those. And don't worry, be happy. See ya.